Welcome back. It's Thursday, the 7th day of July, 2022. I'm your host, Mark Hall. And quite frankly, folks, it's a really interesting and downright unusual day. Lots of news that you might not have expected all seems to be coming to a head at this point, although it's all over the place. For example, the New World Order satanic version of the Ten Commandments that have been there for far too long anyway in Georgia have been destroyed. You know the ones. They openly advocate for the killing of 7 billion people or so. Well, getting rid of them one way or other in order to maintain humanity at a level in perpetual balance with nature at half a billion total. And isn't it funny? They've certainly made a lot of progress on that score. Now that the gloves are off and the satanic forces have pretty well unleashed what they intend to do, well, anyway, over the last day or so, somebody evidently decided to blow him up. Certainly could have been the creator of the universe. They've been an affront to him for long enough. I saw initial reports saying maybe they got struck by lightning. Then there were later reports saying, nope, looks like somebody was running away from the scene early in the morning after perhaps setting an explosion. Anyway, I gotta be honest, they're gone, good riddance, and the left seems to be making a lot bigger stink about the destruction of this particularly nasty monument than the conservative or constitutional or U.S. history observant actual Americans ever did about tearing down far better monuments of people like Robert E. Lee, Thomas Jefferson, George Washington. So what's it all mean? Honestly, I don't know, but I think if we stay tuned, it'll become increasingly clear. Which brings me to the other story that might raise a few eyebrows. And I guess I gotta say good riddance here too. Boris Johnson, you know, the nutcase prime minister of no longer Great Britain, has resigned as PM after a mass exodus of the Tory party saw the resignation of more than 60 different government ministers, according to a statement issued by number 10, Downing Street, and then later confirmed. Johnson made a statement to the nation just before midday Thursday in the UK, announcing that, yeah, he was eventually going to leave, but defying pressure to step down immediately, insisting he needed to remain in office until a new conservative, sick, party leader is chosen. But still, after days of turmoil and mass resignations from his government, the almost former prime minister said, it's clearly now the will of the Parliamentary Conservative Party that there should be a new leader. Well, that's a concept. How about any leader? And therefore a new prime minister. They call him one of the most controversial British leaders, sick, in modern times, and said the timing of a contest for the new leadership would be announced next week, although a whole lot of conservatives, including a number of former ministers, believe Johnson should get out of Downing Street right away. Said one, quote, there's no way I could serve under him in any circumstances, unquote. And I know what you're thinking, folks. Too bad I can't make this announcement yet. No. The communist Chinese puppy marionette in chief that's diapered at both ends is still pretending to occupy the oval orifice. Obviously, there's work to do. The destruction of the once free United States is not yet complete. The Biden viewer did, however, give a speech in Ohio that was called all kinds of wonderful things, from chaotic to an outright train wreck, and he couldn't even make up what's left of his mind about who to blame. First, it was Trump, and then he attacked Vladimir Putin for high gas prices. I guess all of them are responsible, anybody but him, and soaring food costs, and then made the idiotic claim that it's Republicans that are blocking his efforts to, yeah, get this, folks, lower prices. As Bugs Bunny once famously said, what a maroon! And come to think of it, Bugs Bunny would be a hell of a lot better Oval Office occupant than this senile communist crime boss. And according to Jim Hofton, the Gateway Pundit, though, the highlight of the train wreck speech was when the Biden Fuhrer called out a woman in the crowd during that speech in Ohio, but she'd already gotten disgusted and left. Awkward, maybe, but just another day in Diaperville. Which leads me directly, though, to this story, and it's as close as we get yet to what's happening in Britain with their not-quite-as-senile clown. Top Democrats and staffers, says a headline from Tyler Durden and Zero Hedge, are fuming over the White House's chaotic impotence. Yeah, it says Democrats are livid over the Biden regime's tepid response to a number of recent U.S. Supreme Court decisions, which struck devastating blows to the party's core anti-constitutional tenets, including an end to killing babies with impunity, and, at least if you actually believe the court has anything to say about it, disarming people via idiotic gun control measures, which they are still doubling down on. For example, star of Will and Grace, Deborah Messing, one of the far left's real nutcases, and that certainly is saying something. was, it says, among dozens of celebrity Democrat supporters participating in a call with White House aides last Monday to brainstorm. There's an irony. Think about it. A response to the Supreme Court decision to Deep Six Roe v. Wade. And this is almost funny. She told CNN that she had gotten Joe Biden elected, and she now wanted to know why she was being asked to do anything at all, yelling that there didn't even seem to be a point to voting. And maybe that means she's figured out the election was rigged, although with her, I really doubt it. Said CNN, the call 3 days after the decision eliminating federal abortion rights encapsulates the overwhelming sense of frustration among party apparatchiks with the Biden Fuhrer and offers a new window, they say, into what many in his party describe as a mismanagement permeating the White House. Isn't that funny? What an understatement. And among top Democrats, two dozen of which spoke with CNN, including White House staffers, Biden either isn't acting with or, probably more to the point, isn't capable of the urgency required in the moment, raising questions over, get this, basic management abilities. How about basic abilities to use the potty unattended? Said one of them, though, getting at least on the right track, he's rudderless, aimless, and hopeless. He left out clueless and utterly brainless. So at least there's a bit of hope on that score, folks. Come on, Joe. Time to bojo up before even the far left has to come right out and admit that they were snookered. I only have one additional comment at this point. I'm sure I'll come back to it sometime down the line. Looks like the left is finally realizing that they have what you might call rigorous remorse. Given where we are, folks, on the scale of worldwide financial collapse, I think it's important again today to talk about several aspects of that. And just to bring home the point, I'm actually looking back at a piece that I recorded a full quarter ago, over 3 months. And a little retrospective will kind of give us a chance to see just how far we've come and how hard the Biden Fuhrer has been pushing, on behalf of his master anyway, to destroy America and stick a fork in the most powerful economy in the history of the world. It's been a long time coming, of course. I've got two pieces sitting here in front of me that really do a nice job of summarizing, well, some overlap, but a lot of different pieces of what's going on. The first one's from Egon von Greyerz, the founder of Matterhorn Asset Management and Gold Switzerland, who again reminds us that all hell is currently in the process of breaking loose for all humanity. We're now at the end of an era, he says, of economic and moral decadence in a debt-infested world built on false values, fake money, and abysmal leadership. And all hell's going to break loose. The consequences will, he said, be fatal for the world. And as most people do when they try to point out just exactly where we are and how bad things have gotten and how we got here, he begins with a look at history, saying it's the buildup of a massive mountain of debt which has given the world a false sense of comfort based on false values. And he noted, as he has many times, that the U.S. has increased its debt every year since 1930, the last Great Depression, with a couple of minor exceptions in the 50s and 60s, and of course the alleged Clinton balanced budget during the 1990s, was an accounting fraud that didn't even fool the leftists. But in history, he notes, when there's undue economic pressure, starting wars becomes really popular, and it's generally thought to be necessary, and it's certainly convenient, and we're seeing that today, writ large, to blame the war for increasing debts and, of course, yes, inflation and all kinds of other nasty shortages that were going to happen anyway, but now we have a scapegoat. And here he points to the fact that the gold standard, back when we actually had a constitution, was an excellent method for preventing governments from spending money they didn't have and then printing it out of nothing, followed by an interesting observation that when Nixon in the late 1960s had to meet U.S. debts to France by paying them in gold, he, in August of 1971, decided to close the gold window temporarily. And here we are, over half a century later, and the gold window is still temporarily closed. And if you look at a chart of the unbelievable growth in U.S. debt since 1971, it's been exponential ever since. But now that we're in the final stages, the debt curve has been explosive in addition to exponential since 2019. But still, he says, bad as it is, the fat lady hadn't sung yet. The debt explosion isn't finished, and a lot's going to happen before the fat lady does sing, because like most economic eras, this one will finish with a number of spectacular events, many of which will take place concurrently. For example, only a few months back, Powell and Lagarde were singing from the same hymn sheet about transitory inflation. Remember that? Well, now, as these central banksters have proven consistently, they're always wrong. They were trying to get inflation to 2%, or so they said, and all of a sudden, it's approaching 10%. That's official numbers. Really, it's a lot higher than that. And they still don't know what hit them. They haven't understood even that Keynesianism was dead before it started. Because even a monkey can understand that if you print tens of trillions of dollars and keep interest rates at zero or even negative for years, the end result will inevitably be spectacular inflation. Initially, he says, we saw unprecedented asset inflation in bonds, stock, and property, but it was always clear that the exponential increase in the money supply would eventually reach consumer prices. So what's coming next is the inevitable perfect storm, meaning that everything that can go wrong will, and it's not just the obvious failures in so many parts of society, but also totally unforeseen consequences, at least unforeseen by those who don't understand actual economics. Here we go, he says. Let's take a look at some of them. Stocks have topped worldwide. The correction currently taking place is likely to end very soon in a devastating decline, and everybody's going to get slaughtered when all hell breaks loose. Whether investors buy the dip or just hold on to their stocks, they won't understand what hit them. Then he shows some charts from other similar events, 1973, 87, 1999, 2007, and 2020, which were all nail-biters at the time. But today, you can hardly discern many of them on the chart, because the charts are mostly printed in fiat terms. And this time, the explosion will really make things different. Stocks, he writes, are likely to decline by 75 to 95% in real terms and not recover for years or maybe decades. He recalls that back in 1929, the earlier Great Depression, the Dow declined by 90% and it took a quarter century before it even recovered in nominal terms. And this time, things are exponentially worse. Bonds, too, have gone up for over 40 years, and they have now reached zero or negative rates, which have now turned up, however. And we're probably going to see interest rates reach at least the 1980 levels of 15 to 20%, and probably higher in the hyperinflationary debt collapse on the horizon. Many bonds will become worthless and more suitable for framing and hanging on a toilet wall as a reminder for future generations. And by the way, folks, those reminders were there in history. And as your host has said for many years now, the real key to having another Great Depression is that everybody with the good sense to recognize or learn the lessons of what went wrong the last time has to die. That's why it's been about 90 years this time. Credit markets will come under the same pressure as bond markets with defaults. Given that people won't even be in a position to service the debt, much less repay it, property markets have also reached extremes, fueled by cheap or even free money and unlimited credit at very high leverage. Today, worldwide, most mortgage borrowers could barely afford an increase of 3%, never mind 10 or 20% like in the 1970s. So as rates rise, expect to see the bubbles in the residential and commercial property markets implode, leading to major defaults, very high vacancy rates, and homelessness. Governments will initially subsidize those markets, and you can look at the examples already, by endless money printing, but in the end, that too will fail as the money simply dies. And then he says, let's not forget derivatives, which are a major financial nuclear bomb likely to be a death knell for all of the markets. As I wrote in a recent article, he said, entitled Chaos and the Triumph of Survival, global derivatives, primarily over-the-counter, are most likely in the two-plus quadrillion dollar range. And every single financial instrument contains a derivative element with massive leverage. So due to the current volatility in commodities markets, most large commodity trading firms, as well as most hedge funds, are now exposed to margin calls. He gives some examples, but says, remember, all of these things are just the beginning of the crisis, with more bad news unraveling on a daily basis. So as the derivative market blows up with counterparties failing, central banksters will have to try to print quadrillions of more worthless dollars, paving the way for what else? The way things usually end on a system like this, massive hyperinflation. Banks and financial systems will clearly be under tremendous pressure initially, and eventually they'll totally or partly fail as the above problems unravel. And governments and central banksters will end up being, obviously, powerless in this scenario. The rescue of the system in 2008 was just a temporary stay of execution. Global debt has now trebled since this early century failure, from $100 trillion to over $300 trillion. But remember, that's mostly fake money, which has created false asset values that are themselves standing on a foundation of quicksand. And now, writes Egon von Graertz, all of this is about to collapse. And furthermore, it's not just an economic and a financial storm, but also human hell, because the financial crisis will have ripple effects, trickle down, yeah, devastating effects all around the world. Here are a few affected areas, he writes. Commodity inflation, guaranteed. You're already seeing gasoline prices. Before that, construction materials, raw materials, minerals, and so on. For years, it's been clear that the long-term commodity cycle was bottoming and a massive surge in commodity prices was fixing to start. Well, but hey, that's why they needed Vladimir Putin, so they'd have somebody to blame it on. The cycle had already started to go up, he writes, well before the Ukraine crisis. But it's fascinating how events fall into place in order to create that perfect storm. Dollar collapse, together with most other currencies, is guaranteed. As money printing and inflation rises in an uncontrolled fashion, the dollar will quickly reach its intrinsic value, which any student of history or the Bible knows is zero. And most currencies will follow, but they will take turns. Digital money is likely to be launched in coming years, but, says von Graertz, I don't think that cryptocurrencies will play a major role except as a very speculative investment. But by the way, folks, those of us that understand the mark of the beast in Revelation recognize, yeah, there will be a mandate associated with it in order to get the rest of this to play out. But more importantly, back to von Graertz, the CBDC, or central bank digital currencies, which will be another form of fiat money, will simply go digital. But as with all fiat money, CBDCs will quickly be debased by endless electronic printing. Oh yeah, he too talks about the World Economic Forum and Klaus Schwab, which have now achieved more prominence than they deserve. In my view, he says, they'll lose whatever power they now have as financial asset values and their wealth implode. Thus, he says, I don't believe that their reset will happen or succeed. Governments may try resets, but that too will fail. The only reset will be disorderly, and as outlined above. In other words, folks, he's predicting that instead of the mark of the beast and a system that rises out of the ashes, there'll be just general chaos, turbulence, and complete worldwide destruction. Again, he calls it human hell. Unemployment will increase dramatically as world trade declines and the financial system comes under pressure. A whole lot of companies are going to perish. Pension systems will fail as the value of pension funds collapses. Social security systems won't function since governments will run out of anything approaching money. And human hell breaking loose will sadly be felt by most people on planet Earth as a consequence of all the problems outlined above. And that, he says, is without a bigger trigger like a nuclear war, which would obviously be, if you can imagine it, even worse. Massive price increases, especially in food and energy, combined with shortages, will hit everyone, both developing nations and the industrialized world. And the consequences of food shortages and economic misery, combined with governments failing to function properly, will lead to societal unrest in many places, and yeah, probably civil war as well. With that as a foundation, folks, I want to add some observations by Mike Adam and his Situation Report update. This piece is entitled System Failure. Commodities markets, banks, currencies, and contracts have begun to break down, and the consequences, and he agrees with all of us on this score, will be catastrophic. When nickel prices, he began, recently spiked to $100,000 a ton, the LME, or London Metal Exchange, decided to halt all trading and reverse over 4,000 trades in order to protect the profits of a China-based mega player who'd been exposed to over $5 billion in margin calls. Now, I've talked about this one before, and I completely concur. In effect, writes Adams, the LME declared that they will now pick the winners and the losers arbitrarily. Markets be damned. And, of course, they've been rigging the markets for a long time anyway. In doing that, he writes, and again, I agree completely, the LME has committed financial and credibility suicide. There's now no rational reason for any investor or trader to trust any transaction at the LME, or for that matter, folks, likewise, the COMEX, whether it's in copper, aluminum, zinc, nickel, or other metals, especially the paper kind like gold and silver, well, you already knew they never intended to deliver anyway. Markets no longer work at LME, and you're only allowed to win a trade if the LME gives you, and if you're politically correct enough, the nod. And wins can even be retroactively stolen from you by the exchange simply reversing trades. They'll actually go back in time and screw you over for past winnings. Oh yeah, but it goes further. In Canada recently, the tyrannical Justin Castro Trudeau regime ordered banks to seize private account holdings of citizens who dared to donate to the Freedom Trucker Convoy. Overnight, the contract of banking was ripped to shreds. Banks can no longer be trusted. trusted to protect assets you've deposited with them. And by the way, folks, this isn't new either. If you recognize that it's only fiat anyway, and furthermore, you're just an unsecured creditor, well, that truly is nothing new. It's just that they've taken the gloves off there as well. Instead, says Adams, now they can steal your money anytime Big Brother orders them to do so, utterly without even a semblance of due process or rule of law, and that's even if you have broken no actual laws whatsoever. On a larger scale, the central banks of the world just stole $300 billion in central bank reserves, and he correctly puts it in quotes here, owned by Russia, Russia, Russia. After their invasion of Ukraine, Western banks decided to give them permission to steal that $300 billion in Russian assets, thereby destroying the entire concept of what were laughably called reserves in one fell swoop. So now, no rational nation in the world will trust Western central banks to hold their reserves, sick, in any safe manner. Central banks, in other words, are now train robbers, and they can loot whatever accounts are held by foreign nations, too, not just their people that they no longer like. And a quick aside here, folks. Can you see what that is already doing to international trade? Why would anybody trust any of these clearinghouses, especially people like SWIFT, given what's going on? And you can see where that leads. And in courtrooms across America and Western nations, continues Mike Adams, facts, reason, and law are increasingly becoming irrelevant. Take, for example, the latest excuse for a Supreme Court justice who has only two qualifications, other than being so far left of center she doesn't even know what communist means, and that's her color and her presumed gender. Although, admittedly, she doesn't even know what the word woman means either. Prosecutorial decisions, writes Adams, are now being made entirely based on virtue signaling. If a leftist, for example, murders a Trump supporter in broad daylight, the charges will be dropped against them. That's exactly what happened recently in Colorado. But if a conservative does nothing more than peacefully protest at, say, the nation's Capitol building, once an activity protected by that First Amendment thingy, they'll be thrown into prison for years, don't need a stinking trial, even if they violated no laws and, as it turns out, did nothing wrong, and even while leftists are getting away literally with arson and murder elsewhere. If you own a home in America, says Adams, and you rent it out to someone, you think you have a rent contract with that renter. But when the COVID pandemic got underway, the Central Death Command suddenly declared they were the controlling legal authority over rent contracts, and they declared that no renters could be evicted even if they refused to honor the contract and pay rent. Overnight, the CDC, too, essentially condemned real estate owners to bankruptcy while handing out free housing to renters who quickly became squatters, which is the equivalent of the CDC ordering pizza shops to hand out free pizza to everyone until they go bankrupt, or ordering gas stations to give out free gas. And don't think, folks, that they're not thinking about that in California. The economic implications of this decision, says Adams, are truly catastrophic and far-reaching. For example, what investor would ever want to invest in providing housing from here on out? And what he's really describing here is a time and a place where literally contracts aren't worth the paper they're printed on. We've seen that for a long time with the contract that was once called the Constitution, especially the Bill of Rights. Now it's to the point where literally you can have a contract and Big Brother says, we could care less about that. I'm changing the deal.
I am altering the deal. Pray I don't alter it any further.
And he's right, and this is the central point in all of these stories, folks. I've literally been talking about it as long as I've been doing radio. But as Adams puts it, the pillars of Western civilization are breaking down now right in front of our eyes. If reserves doesn't really mean reserves, if money doesn't mean money, and it's merely currency, as we've known for a long time, if home ownership doesn't mean ownership, that's been true for a long time, too. Hey, remember who you're paying rent to, and if you don't, Big Brother at the county level will come and take your house, or what you thought was your house, away. Well, all of these point in the same direction. The rule of law doesn't mean law. And the very foundation of Western civilization isn't there at all. That's been increasingly true of free markets. We haven't had them ever since we've had fiat money, and certainly it applies to the allocation of capital. And that, folks, is a big part of the reason why hyperinflation has always been so corrosive to entire societies. When an honest citizen can't trust the courts to apply the law, when there is no such thing as honest money, honest weights and measures, and what you have today, you might not have tomorrow, well then, what point is there in any kind of law? After all, it's not worth the paper it's printed on. Even what George Bush called it, a GD piece of paper. And I'll summarize it this way, because you're seeing it now, folks. Lawlessness abounds, and yeah, the love of many is growing cold. And you already know what that means and what we need to do about it. And we're obviously closer by the day. And may Yahuwah bless you and yours.